May I speak to you in the name of God, our source of the light that cannot be put out, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Good morning. Welcome, welcome. I've been away for a few days visiting family throughout New England, and as I walked in for the 8 o'clock service, I noticed a miracle already in our midst. The baby Jesus is still there, having been replaced. H. Richard Niebuhr, writing in his book, The Meaning of Revelation, compares Revelation to a moment when we are reading a difficult book, seeking to follow a complicated argument, and we come across a luminous sentence from which we can go forward and backward, and so attain some understanding of the whole. We could say something similar about an epiphany. As Kendra Hotz writes in her theological perspective on our passage from Isaiah on this feast of the Epiphany, there comes some moment when an important truth suddenly becomes clear, and we can reinterpret our past and rethink our way forward in light of it. At Epiphany, one of the most important and neglected holidays of the Christian year, we come to one of those moments when an event, the first revelation of Christ to the Gentiles, grabs hold of us and changes everything. Now the past makes sudden sense. Now the future calls for a new direction. Epiphany points us to God's universal love and universal sovereignty. Imagine yourself in the largest open building you have ever visited. It might be one of the large covered stadiums used for sporting events, popular speakers, or concerts. And when you enter one of these stadiums, you are astounded at the size of the place and the volume contained by the walls and the roof. Now imagine that all the lights are turned off throughout the building. Just imagine that this place is completely and utterly thrown into darkness. It is as if you are in a cave, 100 feet below the surface of the earth, and no light is present. You can't even see the shadow of your fingers if you hold your hand just a couple inches in front of your eyes. Darkness, absolute darkness. Now watch in your imagination as a single match is struck and burns down far in the middle of the field. Think of the volume of darkness, the largest volume of darkness that you have ever witnessed. And a single match of almost insignificant volume conquers that darkness. Or imagine how important a light in the storm might be to a ship. The largest and most dangerous of the Great Lakes is Lake Superior. The north shore of Minnesota is particularly inhospitable as freighters come close to the Duluth Harbor. A single storm on November 28, 1905, damaged 29 ships. That put Congress into action, and they appropriated $75,000 for the construction of the Split Rock Lighthouse in 1910. The Split Rock Lighthouse has been called the most visited lighthouse in the United States. It's still open for tours, though it hasn't been used as a lighthouse since 1969, succumbing to modern navigational equipment. Imagine still the welcome light that flashed every 10 seconds, giving captains and sailors a guidepost and a beacon to safety. For the first 30 years, the light was a kerosene lamp. And for the last 30 years, it was a 1,000-watt light bulb, just 1,000 watts shining through a special lens that allowed the light to be seen for 22 miles. The people of the exile were looking for a light. In spite of the promises that had been made to them about the restoration of Israel upon their return from exile, their vision did not turn out to be the reality for which they had hoped. It probably wasn't quite as bad as the wilderness and wanderings of Moses' time, and it had to be a little bit better, at least, than slavery under the Egyptians or Assyrians or the Babylonians. Yet surely it was no land flowing with milk and honey. It was a land of too many foreigners, too much work, and too many disappointments. They were looking for any kind of light. Arise, shine, for your light has come, Isaiah tells the people. And this light that has come to Israel is not for Israel alone. Darkness had covered the earth, and thick darkness overshadowed the people. And oh, how the people of Israel and many others would know that feeling of utter darkness. We in the Northern Hemisphere labor under the greater darkness of this time of year. Some are even so affected by our shorter days that they are burdened physically and emotionally. These are the dark days of the year in which people start looking toward increasing light day after day. It is just into that darker world that the light of the Lord comes. And in Isaiah, it comes not just to God's people of Israel. It comes to the whole world. Nations will come to the light. Kings will be drawn to the dawn of light of Israel. Isaiah further says that the riches of the world will follow the kings. Ships full of goods and camels and gold and incense and silver. It sounds like the days of Solomon, in which precious goods were brought to Jerusalem for the building of the temple. These honors will not go to a temple, unless it is a temple that would be rebuilt in 3 days. These honors would go to the Lord God, to the Holy One of Israel. On the Feast of the Epiphany, it is no large leap of prophetic logic to move to the visit of the Magi to the boy Jesus. There has been much speculation about these magi. Were they kings, astrologers, world travelers? Were there 3? Were there 6? Were there 12? Were there more? They were from the east, perhaps Persia or Arabia or other places. It's likely that they represented the privileged of society, illustrated by their ability to travel, their command and audience with the king, and by the gifts that they offer to the child. Do you hear a fulfilling of the prophecy? King and nations would come to the light of Israel. They were led by a heavenly light which stopped over the place where the child was. Do you hear that these kings or leaders would come with camels bearing riches? Do you hear that they are bearing gold and incense and myrrh? A gift to Jesus not only at his birth, but a gift applied to his body in death. On this day, the Christian church the world over comes to the light of Israel. On this day, the church sings praise to the dawn of light that dispels our darkness. And our darkness is not restricted to the fewer hours of sunlight. Our darkness is manifest in downcast and troubled spirits. Our darkness is manifest in a world afflicted with anxiety and anger, hate and war, greed, lust for power, and a host of other ills. Our darkness is manifest in our own struggles against the things that draw us from the love of God. It is as if we are in a domed stadium with darkness all about us, but a single match is struck in Bethlehem, perhaps, and the world responds in the love and mercy of the light. For every bit of darkness brought into the world by evil, there is a reaching forth in mercy, justice, and love by God's mission working in people of varied faiths, people searching for faith, outcasts of society and whole communities of those gathered to shine the light into the world. And even as crimes and ills are committed and the darkness seems impenetrable, there are unnumbered acts of kindness and love offered in the name of the one who brings light to the whole world. As Hotz continues, she says, Epiphany reveals that even in his infancy, Jesus Christ is for all humanity. Throughout the Hebrew scriptures, God has used the Jewish people and foreigners, outsiders, women, children, the least expected, and sometimes most unsavory characters to fulfill God's mission of love for all humanity. God is for the outsiders and we sinners of faith, and comes to draw all people together. Wise men from the east, Syrians from the north, Egyptians from the south, Romans from the west. The truth that grasps us in the moment of Epiphany, the moment when Christ is revealed to the Gentiles, is that Jesus Christ is the very love of God incarnate. And that love cannot be confined to ethnic or national identity. It cannot be restricted by gender, or claimed only by the powerful or the privileged. Theophanies, visible manifestations to humankind of God, may not mean too much to so many of us in our time. However, a manifestation of God's power in Isaiah's day meant certain salvation, just as it still does. There is enormous power in these images of darkness and light. Unlike our age of fluorescents, floodlights, and LED lights, Isaiah's image is like the flicker of a candle in a darkened stadium, the distant light of a lighthouse in the darkest of storms, a match lit in the darkest reaches of a cave. Israel is not only saved by the light, it spreads the light even over the many centuries when they have repeatedly been denied their humanity. They remain faithful believers, still spreading the light of God's love. And then God manifests God's self to the whole world in a crude stable meant for animals and the lowly. And the light of a star guides Gentiles from hither and thither and yon to worship the child born of peasant parents. Isaiah proclaims that those on whom the light has shined will see what God is doing if they lift their eyes and look around. And if they do, if we do, we will be radiant. Our hearts will thrill and rejoice as we live into a vision of a new world where all people are equal in the eyes of humanity, just as they already are in the eyes of our God of incredible love. Arise, shine, my dear friends in Christ. We are called to shine God's light upon the lives of those who live in darkness. We are called to let that light shine in generous love and respect for all the people, every last one. Those who stand in the light have a responsibility to not just stand there, but to be the light. Arise, shine, says Isaiah. You have the light, now go shine it. What are some of the ways that we shine the light here? There are already many places we are shining the light of a loving God into the darkness of inequity, racism, homelessness, hunger, to name a few. And there are many more people sitting in darkness, waiting for God's light to shine upon them. A very good start is to faithfully live our baptismal promises. If we could do that, light and justice would surely prevail. Today, on this feast of the Epiphany, which was originally also the baptism of our Lord. A beautiful new little child of faith is welcomed into the household of God through the waters of baptism. Today, by the faithful trust of her parents, Holly Victoria Nestor will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and be baptized in the name of God's light, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And she will only come to know the light and the hope of this day in her life as we shine the light of Christ into her life through the love of God in us. And as we each bear witness to her of what hope and justice, love and mercy look like when we strive to live our baptismal promises. This is a crazy, crazy thing that Laura and Greg are doing today. It's countercultural. It's crazy, but it's awesome. It's so awesome. The light of Christ will shine on Holly now and always and forever through you and your love, shining God's love on her. We often do live in darkness, and we often forget the source of our light. It's sadly true. Yet the light has come and continues to shine. A light that shines in any volume of darkness and will never be put out. A light that enfolds us in love and seeks us out to lift us into the light. After the tragedy in Sandy Hook, we received many wonderful gifts from people and churches and temples and synagogues around the world. And one of the simplest gifts was a poster, like about that big, about that high. And it said that wonderful passage from John, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it." I have seen that over and over and over again. It only takes a spark, the smallest light, to remind us of God's love for all of us and to remind us of the hope that we carry and that we can share and shine forth on others. It's there all the time, every day. And when we're not feeling it, someone should be feeling it near us. Share it with those you love especially. Shine the light. It's hope. It's joy, it's new life, it's a new way. Hotz ends her theological reflection reminding us that in Jesus Christ, at last God's promise that Israel will be a light to the nations is fulfilled. The expansive scope of God's love in Jesus Christ means that all are invited and all are included. God's sovereign grace reaches out and calls in every last one of God's beloved children who will come from every compass point to worship and shine God's light upon everyone, dispelling the darkness forever. Arise, shine. Shine the light. Amen.